title of the sermon today is The Church, The Mission. I've been talking a lot about the mission, and there's a big reason why, and I cannot escape it, because the Spirit of the Lord is captivating me and capturing me to this point. He's got me moving in this moment, in this direction. I feel so compelled about this. I know it's God. It's not, there's no shadow of a doubt in my mind. From the time that like 3 weeks ago, we had a message interpreted in tongues. And I believe it was an interpretation because I was praying. And while I was praying, it was a message given. I felt God growing us in the moment. It's been so long. And it was interpreted, and the Lord was asking this question and confirming that, yes, this is Him. He wants us to go into the highways and the byways, around our communities, into wherever we can that's available to us, and talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe you experience this. You feel this. You have this same desire in your heart. And I can hear it when you're talking about Him amongst each other. And I am so excited. I can't hardly contain, because I know God is working. There's no place better to be than in the midst of where God's working and seeing His glory and knowing that He is just doing something amazing. Every single time I think about what He did in my life and how He saved my soul, I am amazed. His goodness and His mercy and His love, it never grows old. You may see me get a little happy up here. You may see me laughing in the middle of a song. I can't sing the words anymore because I get happy. Because I'm thinking about what the Lord has done for me. And how He saved my soul and set me free. He set me free. And He loves me just the way I am. But He calls me to a higher plane and a closer walk with Him every day. I thank the Lord for that relationship that I have with Him and we have with Him. And if you do not know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you can have with Him just by asking Him into your heart to forgive you of sin and turning to Him instead of away. Believing in Him. Acts chapter 11, verse 21 says, "And the hand," I meant to have you to stand, if you don't mind, in the as respect for the Lord and His word, let's stand and as I read this verse, and then I want to pray. So Acts 11, 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Heavenly Father, we need your hand with us, and we know you are. As we go about doing your work for your glory, you are with us. As we go about listening to you in our everyday lives, we know that you have not left us, you have not forsaken us, you are with us, no matter what the battles are we face. And Lord, we give you the glory today. Now take your word, I pray, in the name of Jesus, from your servant to the hearts of your people. And multiply it, Lord, and work as you see fit. And God, help them to receive it and hold it and hold fast to it in the name of Jesus and grow and grow and grow. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. So a quick summary of what's been happening here in Acts. Chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. The church was being born. The church was growing, and now it's going out. It was a horrible thing, the death of Stephen. We've talked about Stephen and him being a martyr, a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing what we experienced here in America just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, God is in control still yet. Never for a moment was God not on the throne. He has always been on the throne and always will be. And here we see that since Stephen was stoned, the church was being persecuted, and Saul was after them. He wanted to kill them. We've talked about this. Saul wanted to destroy them. The devil, he wants to destroy us. He's out seeking whom he may devour. He is after us. He's after me. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. God is in control. He is not out off of duty anywhere. He's in control, and his sovereign will is being revealed even when we're persecuted, even when we're suffering, even when it's difficult. God can be glorified. He is being glorified. And even in the death of Stephen, he was glorified. And you can see it here in America with what happened to Charlie and how the nation has shifted. There's been a pivot. For a moment, we have an open door that I am going to tell you about in just a minute that I've experienced in the last couple of weeks. God is moving. He is moving in powerful ways. It's his plan. It's his purpose. And I want to be on board. I want to be on board with God. I want to be following him. It's God's sovereignty revealed. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 21 says this. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But in verse 20, there are some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, who were the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And then verse 21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. This is powerful in this moment that's happening. God's word going out, the gospel message we talked about last week going out, and not only being to a sect of people, just the Jewish people in Jerusalem, or just the Jewish people who were scattered, it's breaking out like a river flowing into the tributaries, into the other places. God's word going out, and the church being birthed and growing. Now here we are in the Greek, in out here with the Gentiles, and we're going to look at this, and it's focusing, Acts is focusing more on what's going on for a minute here in Antioch. And if you study, you take a deep study of this, you see a plan. It's kind of like a sketch when you're planning something out. This is a good way of doing this, a blueprint, so to speak. This is God's blueprint for building the church. We can see what happens. So as we're looking at that, there are three essential things to note. The church at Antioch was born through the laity. That's the church congregants. No clergy. Not the beginning, not like that. It was the people who were spread out and who were, when they went, they didn't stop talking about what had happened to them. You know, that salvation and that experience in Jesus Christ never got old. They couldn't help but to talk about it. They didn't talk about it behind closed doors as much. They were out there talking wherever they needed to talk, to whomever they could talk to. And it was impacting the world around them. And the church was being born. It was birthing. It was coming together and growing in a mighty way. And it's the Gentile church, not just the Jewish church. The Jewish church was established in Jerusalem. You got the disciples, those apostles who were there. They're in Jerusalem. You got the laity out here reaching out and talking and sharing. And all of this is happening by the power of God's hand. Believers who were not clergy, witnessing and sharing what they knew. That's what God expects us to do. That is what we're to do. The church at Antioch was born through the laity congregants, sharing Christ with all peoples, not just the sect. We see here in Isaiah 45, 22. God says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am the Lord God, for I am God, and there is no other, not another. Isaiah 45, 22. Then we see, go to the streets and the corners and invite them to the banquet. Anyone you find in Matthew 22, 9, kind of paraphrased there. Then in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, we have this, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? This is what God wants. all mankind. That includes womankind too. Everybody to be saved. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die for one or two. He died for everyone. He gave his blood, that powerful blood that crosses all barriers and all lines and breaks through to the hearts and souls of every soul that will receive him for who he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The church at Antioch was born through the mighty hand of God we see here. God's power revealed, God's sovereignty. His sovereignty over anything, persecution, the troubles that they faced, if you think about what they faced back in that day and that time and that period, is no different than what we face now. Sometimes we think it's worse now. There's no new thing under the sun. Evil's evil, period. And evil's out to destroy. Persecution then, they were scattered, they were being killed, they were being eaten by lions. They were being stoned, they were being beaten. They were ridiculed, they were made fun of. If you experienced this in your lifetime, persecution for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Someone told me to ask the church, if the church was not here, our particular church here, if it closed its doors and no one met here, would the community miss us? That sits heavy. But that brings us to the point. We have a mission. There's a purpose. God has planted this church, even this property that is his, here for a work for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as he has planted us here in this moment for a time, for this particular time, for making a difference in the world like we have not known before. I'm not saying something that is like, oh, fantasy. I'm saying something that I know, that I know, that I know. God wants to use you. God is not asking too much of us. God is only asking what he requires. And he is the one who prepares and makes a way and just does it through us as we are willing in loving him to follow. God's sovereignty is over any distress, any trauma, any fear. His sovereignty is over the sins of the community, of the people around us, and maybe even us, ourselves. He's sovereign over that. We just need to lay it down. He takes care of it. We got to let it go, whatever's in the way. If we have something that we're holding on to and God's been tapping on us for years, let it go. It's not good for you. You need to let it go. And we're all guilty. We can let it go in Jesus' name. We can find support in talking with one another, being supportive of one another. Being there for one another, growing together. Luke 1:67 through 79 says this, and this is Zechariah. We talked a few weeks back about going out into the desert and John the Baptist being sent, and he was the forerunner of Christ. This is his father. When he opened his mouth and he began to prophesy, this was a prophecy. He says, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, verse 68 of Luke 1, says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has redeemed his holy covenant, remembered his holy covenant in verse 72. 73 says, and the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Verse 75 says, in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And verse 76 says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. That was John the Baptist. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Could you imagine Zechariah looking at his baby son, and prophesying this? Oh, the magnitude of it. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is still true today in our lives. Yes, this was a prophecy over John the Baptist. We also are to go out and to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into this darkened world. We are also to go out and to help those who sit in the shadow of death. We have been given authority by Jesus to make a difference. Psalms 25:9 says that he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them in his way. We don't need to worry or fear how we go out as far as we're going out in the Lord, listening for his voice. What we say to people comes from the heart and is genuine and in love. Love on them with the word. Love on them with God. Isaiah 42:6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. You hear me now? That's powerful. I will take hold of your hand. Do not fear if someone's afraid. Do not fear. God's going to take care of this. God's going to make a way where there may be a barrier that stands there, but it's going to just dissipate. Do not be afraid. Isaiah 42:6 says, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and for a light to the Gentiles. God is our light, and we must share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's work is heard, and we see this in this study that we're doing this morning with Acts chapter 11. In verse 22 through 23, we're seeing that what's going on in Antioch, which is like, I don't remember now how many miles away from Jerusalem. And if you walk it, it was like days and days. I didn't write it in my notes, but it was a long time. But they're hearing what's happening in Antioch, back in the church in Jerusalem. And Antioch, the church there, and the people there, I should say, the people that were scattered still depend on the leadership of the church at Jerusalem and the disciples and that leadership. They're still connected. They weren't cut off. They're still connected, and we need that connection. The report's coming back, and when, in verse 23 says, and when he came and saw, I think I skipped one, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So Barnabas, did anybody know Barnabas? Barnabas, we don't hear much about him, but he was sent from the church in Jerusalem to Antioch to see. And here's what he said. Here's what it says in verse 23. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. If there's anything that you take home today that is so important to know, that's it. Remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast in purpose. He was rejoicing. He was glad in his heart as he exhorted them. He talked to them, and he saw what was going on. And then verse 24, he said, it says about him that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. That's why we're here. because we were added to the Lord. When I first became the pastor, we were talking about the family of God. We were engrafted in. We were added. We're not left out on the sideline. We're gathered in. There's three significant things we need to think about here. The established church in Jerusalem heard about the witness of the scattered believers. You know, those apostles were still up there. They heard. Can you imagine here? The stirring of the Holy Spirit moving us to go out and reach out, and then something breaking free, some souls coming in, the stirring of the Lord reaching out and breaking out, and our family members being saved, the stirring of the Lord and the empowering of God by His mighty hand, and our voices coming together and being unified, and us following His will and touching a soul out there for the glory of God, and that soul receives and believes that Jesus is the Lord. All of heaven shouts, the angels rejoice, and they come and they serve God. Their roots grow. They become established in a community, in a body of Christ that's local to this, right here. And then they grow out and it multiplies. There is no end to what God can do. There is no end. I'm a pastor who says the property is here for a reason. It might be too small, but it's God's property. And what I mean by small is by the mass amount of need that's out there that God can reach by each one of us in just whatever He has us say or do. God can do this. I've seen these things in small portions. I can only imagine. God wants a mighty move. He wants people saved. I'm not talking about a mega church. I'm just talking about family. God's family. You go out here and you win a soul and they live closer to Powdersville, send them to the Powdersville church. They live in Greenville, send them. Say, here's a church. We are the body of Christ. We must be about God's business. We cannot make lines. A missionary disciple was commissioned from that Jerusalem church to go, the Barnabas. And we heard from our missionaries standing right here just a few minutes ago. How precious God is. His timing is beautiful. There were tremendous results that happened, and many were added to the church. That's something else to pay attention to. There is going to be a result from our efforts in the kingdom, period. That's just a fact. These are the believers just witnessing faithfully. Churches showing interest and sending help. These were ministers that came and they even encouraged, like Barnabas coming and encouraging the church. And here we had our missionaries standing right here encouraging us, sharing their own heart's experience. And it's a beautiful thing when you do that. You experienced that just this morning. How much it would be beautiful for us to share that from our heart, from our journey, from our experience of what God has done. God's networking provision, it's a network, it really is. And He provides. It's amazing how God pulls His sovereign plan together. So I got a letter from our network pastor, their superintendent, Bob Sandler, and I wanted to read it to you. He says, "Hi, Lisa, we are thrilled to announce that our first corporate outreach, the Seek and the Save outreach, is officially in the books. This is incredible. This incredible event brought together ministries and volunteers for a powerful impact in the upstate of South Carolina. You may have heard of it. The outreach included prayer walks, car checkups, water drops, block parties, food distribution, human trafficking, hotel outreach, mission church renovation, and sports clinics. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can reach out. This is just a small portion, but this was happening. This happened in the upstate. We extend our heartfelt thanks to everyone who volunteered, prayed, and financially supported this historic event. Your dedication made it possible. This goes right back to what Brother and Sister Sisk said. I can't do it by myself. No one of us can do it by ourselves. We need each other and we need God. And God wants us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He loves us. We extend our heartfelt thanks. And then he says, special thanks to Greenville First. Pastor Josh O'Connor did. And Pastor Stephen Bailey. They hosted and they led the change this with passion. And then it says, and I believe we have a list, look what God did. Look what God did at South Carolina's first Seek and Say. First one, 577 volunteers. 34 different churches sent volunteers. 617 prayers and gospel conversations happened. Probably more, actually, you know. 27 different outreaches. 3,300 bags of Convoy of Hope groceries were distributed. 91 salvations. 4 missing children found through the Ministry of Canned Freedom. They went in the hotel and they got them out. And they didn't just leave them on their own. They don't do that. And I met the lady who has the burden and the desire and the passion of, and there's more than just her, but I met her. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. What's going on? One church, the Mission Church, received a new exterior paint job and says, let us give praise and glory to God for these remarkable outcomes. That's where it belongs. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then he always signs, better together, Bob Sandler. And it's a fact, better together. Better together. I attended Convoy of Hope luncheon on 9/17, and that was during the week of this event. And met that lady that met people with grounds, you know, their boots on the ground. I went to discover what we could do. Discover how I can be impacted and move forward in what God is wanting me to do and wanting us to do. I went because God called me to sit in the seat I sat in. I sat next to a lady who has this enormous food bank in the lower parts of the state. And then she distributes to churches who open food banks, and she helps them learn how to do that. I met Mandy Leverett, and she's the one from Canned Freedom. Together we are building, and this is what they say, together we are building a comprehensive response to local human trafficking, prevention to survival reentry. They work to prevent it, they go get them, and they help them reenter into a normal healing process of life rather than destruction. Roger and I attended another meeting on 9/23 last week called Building Bridges. It was a luncheon. It impacted me, but as I turned my head to see how it was impacting Roger, I realized God was doing something in us both in a major way. What was happening is we met with school personnel, principals, and Pickens County Superintendent. Local ministries, like the YMCA was there, the program director of the Adult Learning Center, Brad Blackston, the director of virtual programs, Lori Gwynn, Nate Roper, Geddes Middle School principal, and I met them. Many more. Amazing. This is what Roger said, my husband. People meeting each other, getting to know each other, and coming together for a common good. That's what he saw. He said, and all the people that were speaking were men and women of God. They're set in strategic places in our school systems here in Pickens County. And he said it was a great need in the community that was being discussed, and it is an outstanding opportunity to minister not just to kids but to their entire families. God is working. God is gearing us up to gear y'all up as we all gear up to do his work. We're going to have boots on the ground. It's time to pray about this. We're going to pray ahead of time for next year's work. And there is a mark your calendar for the Seek and Save next year in the fall. They have it in a lower part of the state, and perhaps we can get it on their calendar for Easley in the future, to where churches come together by the droves and they reach out into these communities and win this lost city. God's networking plan is this example we find in Acts. In verses 25 and 26, we see, so Barabbas went to Tarsus, and where'd he go? He went to look for Saul, who had met the Lord. He was no longer persecuting the church, but now Saul himself, this man that was killing Christians, seeking them out, dragging them out, children and adults, everyone, women, men, and killing them because he wanted to stamp out the gospel of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus. But now he met Jesus. He met Jesus. Once you meet Jesus, the whole thing changes. The world, your life, everything. Everything. Certainly your eternal destination. In verse 26, in closing, says, and when we had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people, all these people that were coming in. It was growing. They needed workers. We need workers. And Antioch and the disciples were first called Christians there. In Antioch, I mean, the disciples were first called Christians. God wants to use us. Would you mind playing He Knows My Name? God wants to use us. There's no doubt in my mind that God's plan is unfolding here, but we have a response that we must make. We have a decision. I have a decision. So I know we all have a decision. If our church closed its doors, that's not God's will, by the way. And I don't for a minute believe that's going to happen. But would the community miss us is a good question. Would they miss the representation we have of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we impacting the world around us? I don't want you to take it hard and heavy, but just sort of do a self-eval, a self-evaluation. I know you talk to people about the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. Maybe it's your children, or maybe it's your relatives, or maybe it's a coworker beside you. Your spouse. God is asking something even more of us. He's asking us to go places that we've not been yet. And there are missionaries in places in the world, and I just heard it today, there's places in the world that have not been touched by the gospel. God wants those places to be touched. It begins right here at home, right here in each one of us. It begins right here with us before the Lord. And as we fill up on the Lord, His word will spill out and spill over, and He will empower us. If you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, and hadn't had the evidence, that initial evidence of speaking in tongues, you need God. You need to seek Him with all of your life, your heart, your might. You need to be willing to be like the missionary who lays down everything and sells everything and goes to an unknown place because you trust God. You need to be able to do that. Release it. Let it go. Because God wants to use you. He's got a child out there who's lost. And He wants to use you to go find him. You might find him in the ditch. You may be like this carefreedom and find him in a hotel. You may be like, they're just your neighbor. But God's going to send you.